Good morning. Certainly good to be here, and we have close to a full house, and that's certainly a good thing. Welcome to our members and welcome to our visitors. It is good to be together on the Lord's Day, as God would have us to do. As I said before, what better way is there to start a week than to be together and worship and glorify God and to share in His Word and prepare to go out and face this week, but serving Him and being an example to those around us. If you're visiting with us, please know that you're our honored guest. And if you are visiting, you are part of a fairly large group today. And it is good to see some familiar faces returning, and it's good to meet some new brethren from other places. For those of our members, I was in the foyer this morning, and I walked over and I saw Holly. And I just thought to myself, oh, there's Holly. Like she had never left. And then I thought, it took me a couple seconds to realize, wait, they're not here anymore. And that's not normal now. But it's good to see Holly and Brady. Man, we miss you guys so much. And so good to have you back. And it's good to see so many others here today. Kevin, appreciate your comments and your reading before the Lord's Supper. We appreciate men who lead in different aspects of our worship service, men who serve us out in the foyer, certainly our Bible class teachers and all the work you do. And I'd like to acknowledge the work of our deacons as well, because they work very hard behind the scenes to make sure that we function as we should, that we function efficiently. So thank you for all that you do as well. I'd ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, we'll read verses 10 through 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. To those of our congregation, it will be a familiar passage because we just studied it in Bible class last week. I warned you that there was a sermon coming, and I hinted at that. I think I more than hinted at it on Wednesday. I really announced the theme of the sermon today, so it shouldn't be a surprise. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin, called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." In class, we talked about, discussed that stone altar that Samuel had established. And he gave it a very special name, because from Hebrew, Ebenezer literally means stone of helping. And that is literally what that was. It was a stone that was set up to remind the Israelites of God's blessing to them in that victory over the Philistines. We talked about the fact that the people had repented. Samuel had led them back to the Lord. And he told the people, put away your idols, put away your false gods, and come back to the true and living God. And the Israelites did, something they should have done years prior. And when they did, God blessed them with that crushing victory over the Philistines. And so Samuel establishes this monument, this altar, to commemorate that blessing that God had given. It was a stone that represented the help that God had given them. And it would be a constant reminder of that blessing. We can think of that in terms of our responsibility to be thankful to the Lord, because that'll be the theme of the lesson today. This altar that Samuel built was unique from one perspective in that he gave it a name. But we read throughout the Old Testament of people who built altars to the Lord for several different reasons. It was very rare that those altars were given a name. Let's think of some examples. Noah, for instance, in Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 through 20, built an altar when they came off of the ark to recognize and acknowledge the fact that God had spared them from the flood and that He had given them a fresh start. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, Abraham built an altar when God promised the land of Canaan to his descendants. And so, in essence, he ratified that covenant and recognized it by building an altar. His son Isaac did something very similar in Genesis chapter 26, verses 24 and 25. Isaac likewise builds an altar when God reaffirms the promises that he had made to his father, Abraham. There were many other people that built altars as recorded in the Old Testament. Here are some examples. I'm going to go relatively quick and so you can try to keep up. Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and others. I hope you took notes because there'll be a quiz at the end of the lesson. I know I went pretty quick. But there are many others who built altars. And those altars were built for many different reasons. Some were built for the purpose of worship. So sacrifices could be made in the days before the temple in Jerusalem. As with Abraham and Isaac and others, sometimes altars were built to ratify or recognize covenants that the Lord had made with his people. And there were certainly times when God directed that his people build altars. But in the case of Ebenezer, that altar that Samuel built, and many others, they were built to recognize a blessing that God had given and to express gratitude and to remind the people to be thankful of that blessing. It would be a lasting reminder so the Israelites would know how blessed they were. And again, I would like to think that as an example for us. You know, we're not directed in the New Testament anywhere to literally build altars. We have no example of the early Christians building altars. So, of course, that's something we don't do. Let's think of it in terms of building figurative altars and remembering the blessings that God has given us always and expressing our gratitude, going to God in prayer and giving thanks, and also expressing our gratitude through our faithful obedience. That's another way that we show God that we appreciate the blessings that he's given us. So let's think about those altars that we're to build, not by setting up a stone or physically building a structure, but reflecting on the blessings that God has given and expressing our gratitude freely, because he so freely blesses us. You know, several years ago, Wendy and I were studying from 1 Samuel, and we thought about him setting up that altar and naming it Ebenezer and what it represented and what it stood for, and all the other altars that were built that we read about in the Old Testament. From that point on, that became a way for us to remind each other to give thanks. Because if something good happens to us in our lives, we'll tell the other, if we've already given thanks, hey, this happened, and I've built my altar. And that was a reminder to the other to build their altar. And so we would just share that with one another as a challenge and as a reminder to give thanks. I mean, these days it's typical that we would share text messages between Wendy and I would tell her something good that happened, and if I'd already given thanks, I would just conclude that message with two words, altar built. And then she would respond after she gave thanks, altar built. And it's important that we remember how blessed we are, because we'll read in Scripture that every good thing comes from the Lord. Think about every good thing that happens to you. That is from him. It is not by luck. It's not by chance. It's not by anything we've done that God hasn't blessed us with an ability to do. Everything good comes from him. We have so much to be thankful for. Let's never take it for granted. And that's the purpose of our lesson today, is just as a reminder. And I'll admit, for members of our congregation, this really is a reminder, because we just studied this event a week ago, but I wanted to go more in depth, and that's why I chose to put a sermon together, just to build upon it. But I'll also borrow from some points that I've made in classes and in sermons previously, and just tie it all together, because that's really the theme of the lesson. That monument or altar that Samuel built was a reminder to the people of God's blessings. So let's let this lesson be a reminder of the blessings he's given us. The approach that we'll take is to think of the altar that Samuel built. We have absolutely no idea what it looked like, how big it was. This is a picture that I took off of the internet. I could almost guarantee that that's not even Israel, and that is not Ebenezer, but it's just an image that we can think on. Let's think about some general characteristics of that altar, because the altar that Samuel established was deliberate. It was obvious, and it was meant to last. And so should our gratefulness be to the Lord. It should be deliberate. It should be obvious, and it should be lasting. And that gratitude that we show should fit those same criteria. Let's think of those three aspects of the altar that Samuel built so long ago and our willingness to share gratitude with the Lord. And it starts with the fact that what Samuel built was deliberate. Again, we have no idea what it looks like, but we're told it was made of stone. And God had just blessed the Israelites with this amazing victory over their sworn enemy, the Philistines. The biggest threat to the Israelites in that day and age came from the people of Philistia. It came from the Philistines. And God had thundered upon them in this glorious victory over the Philistines and driven them all the way back to their homeland, allowing the Israelites to pursue them. And it wasn't just that the Israelites were grateful for that. Obviously, they were. It's not that they just thought about it. It's not that they just prayed about it. All of that's important, but they did something that had some permanence to it. They did something that would be very obvious This took deliberate effort. And we should put deliberate effort into expressing our gratitude to the Lord, because we should take time to remember all the good things that He does for us. The first passage of Scripture that we'll read today, other than the one we began with, is James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Let's turn in our New Testament to James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Because here James, writing God's inspired word, reminds us, as I said in the opening to the lesson, that every good thing comes from the Lord. So James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Let's read this together and think on this as evidence of how grateful we should be. James says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." If every good thing comes from the Lord, think of how grateful we should be and how willing we should be to express our gratitude. Then we should take the time and effort to do that. And that means that our gratitude is not just a passing thought. It's not something we just hold in our heart. It's not just that warm feeling, but we take time to express it. That is the difference between thankfulness and giving thanks. You know, giving thanks comes from that feeling of gratitude that we have. But if we don't share that with the Lord, if we don't go to Him in prayer and put it into words or manifest that through our faithful obedience, then it's just a feeling that we haven't acted on. So again, that difference between being thankful and expressing gratitude. Now, I'll give you a personal example of how important it is that we be deliberate in giving thanks, that we take time to do so. And it's not just a fleeting thought or a warm feeling. You know, I think we share this in common. There are so many good things that happen to us every day that sometimes it can actually be somewhat overwhelming, and we take it for granted. And we forget to take time to give thanks. And here's how that might look. Here's how it happens with me. I can think it might happen with some of you as well. Something good would happen through the course of the day. And I'm real busy, or at least I think I am. And I have so much going on that I'll think, you know, that came from the Lord, and I need to express gratitude, but I just don't have time now. So when will I do it? I'll do it tonight. Because like most people, I tend to give my big prayer as I'm laying down to go to sleep. Not that I don't pray throughout the day, because we certainly should, but I think it's a good idea to find time during that day, whether it's night or morning or whatever works, to kind of package our prayers together and focus a little more deeply and have a more lengthy prayer. For me, that's at night. I say a shorter one in the morning and then sometimes throughout the day. But if I feel I'm too busy to express that gratitude in the moment, I think to myself, well, I'll just package that into my prayer tonight. But what happens at night when I lay my head down on my pillow? For the life of me, I can't think of what that good thing was. And the older I get, the harder that gets. Because I forget. Not because I'm not appreciative, but I just didn't take the time in the moment to express gratitude. I wasn't deliberate enough in expressing gratitude. And so what do we typically do in that situation? We have this catch-all phrase. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you've given me. And you know, that's important, but that doesn't really address the fact of how grateful we should be specifically, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. It dawned on me as well as I was kind of thinking about the lesson. When I try to tell myself that something good has happened and I need to express gratitude to the Lord, I just don't have time right now. I'm so busy. There's so much going on. I'll just wait till tonight to do that. In the amount of time it took me to say all of that right then, I could have said thank you to the Lord. It doesn't take much time to say thank you. And that doesn't mean that we can't say a quick prayer of thanks in the moment and come back to it later in more depth. Nothing that says we can't be thankful twice, three times, four times, whatever the case may be. We should be deliberate in our giving thanks. It took deliberate time and effort to erect that monument to show their appreciation of the victory that God had brought them. We should be deliberate in our giving of thanks as well. You know, if we're deliberate in our giving of thanks, we should also be consistent. I'd ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll focus on verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 5, verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul writes, again, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that giving thanks should be something we do relatively consistently, and that we would do so deliberately. Again, think of all the things you had to be thankful for. Have you thanked God for all those things? With that in mind, read with me Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Because Paul writes to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When does Paul say to be thankful? Just when times are good? Just when we feel like we have a little bit of time to do it? Just when we think that we're in the moment or later on that night? Paul says give thanks always. That means be thankful and express that gratitude habitually, consistently, in good times and in bad times. You know, it's easy to be thankful when times are good because we have such ample evidence of His blessings right in front of us. It's a little bit more of a challenge to be thankful when times are difficult. But even when we encounter challenges, God's still with us and He's still blessing us. It may take a little more deliberate effort to find those blessings, but friends, they're absolutely there. Because God never stops blessing us as long as we're faithful and obedient. We should always take the time to find those blessings and offer our thanks. Because if not, we truly start to take them for granted. And that can really happen when times are tough. And I know you don't need me to tell you that, but I think it bears reminding us, and that's what that stone that Samuel erected was for, reminding the people to be consistent in thanks. Take time to find those things to be grateful for and express them, because if not, life can overwhelm us, and we're going to miss them. We're going to miss an opportunity to express our gratitude. The point I've made before for members of our congregation, when you're thinking about a prayer in general, what's the proportion of our asking versus our thanking? And I've challenged you before to try to find a little bit of balance there. And that's something I've tried to challenge myself to do as well. Because again, when I pray, I typically get real quick to the asking part. And I think that's normal, that's habitual for us, and that's our human nature. The things we want, the things we need, those are the things that are on our mind. And that tends to become the focal point of our prayer. And we can get very quickly to that and to forget that we should pray for other things and we should express other things when we pray. Certainly, we should give thanks. As I've said before, it's not a bad idea before you start asking in a prayer to first give thanks for all the blessings up to that point since you last talked to Him before you start asking and to try to get more of a balance. I'm not saying that ratio needs to be 1-to-1, but I think it's just a good idea to help us try to balance that prayer. And understand that we should put a priority on giving thanks before we start asking and asking and asking. Let's thank and thank and thank. I know some of you do this, and I know Wendy and I have tried to start doing this as well. Sometimes just focusing a prayer purely on giving thanks. Just think through all the blessings that He's given you over the past few days and just go to Him and ask nothing. You'll ask later. God teaches us to ask. There's nothing wrong with asking, but He also tells us to give thanks. Sometimes you can just allocate all the time in one prayer, dedicate that prayer to just giving thanks because it's that important. And that is being deliberate in our giving of thanks to the Lord. So just some things to think about as we proceed to the next topic. That altar that Samuel built was deliberately meant to be very obvious. You know, we've been looking at maps in our Bible classes, and Samuel has been judging, teaching, serving as a prophet and a priest right there in the center of Israel on a circuit. And this battlefield near Mizpah was right near where Samuel would end up doing that circuit. It was one of the most populous places in Israel at the time, right in the middle of the country. We reflected on the fact that Israel at this point in time is a very narrow strip of territory. It's even more narrow than it is today because it began in the east on the banks of the Jordan River and went to the west to the area occupied the Philistines. In this day and age, it didn't even go all the way to the Mediterranean because that was the area occupied by the Philistines. Anyone traveling through that narrow strip of territory known as Israel would pass by this monument or pass pretty close to it. And that was the point. Even though it was established near that battlefield, it was meant to be an obvious reminder. If it wasn't obvious, what good would it have been? Because it was meant to remind the people of how blessed they were. And we should think about how obvious our giving of thanks should be and our gratitude. And we should desire to be thankful at all times. We should understand how important that is as part of our relationship with the Lord in this covenant that we have entered into, that we should be thankful. I'd ask you to turn back into the Old Testament to Psalm 46. We're going to read the first three verses of Psalm 46, just as an illustration of how blessed we are and how we should desire to give thanks to the Lord, because we know that's something He wants us to do, and we understand how important it is to our relationship with Him. And we should be obvious in our giving of thanks. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, an illustration of the blessings that God gives us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. I just want to focus on that phrase from verse 1, that God is a very present help. He's not just present, He is very present. When we think about all the blessings He gives us, we should desire to be thankful. You know, God presents this as a command throughout the Old and the New Testament. Give thanks. The Holy Spirit has inspired people to write in terms of commandments to give thanks. And I think that's an interesting way that God has presented that, because it could be somewhat misleading to someone who doesn't know the Lord and isn't familiar with His Word, who hasn't taken the opportunity, who's ignored God's Word. It's a question that could come up. And it's a fair question on the surface. As faithful Christians, we understand and know the answer, but someone who's uninformed and lacks that knowledge might ask, why does God command His people to be thankful? Does He only bless us because He wants us to give that gratitude back? Is that a condition that He set, and that He doesn't bless us if we don't say a prayer and thank Him specifically? I mean, is that what this relationship is all about? Because on the surface, that does sound kind of self-centered. But I know as faithful Christians, you're probably squirming in your seats a little bit right now, because you understand how uninformed that actually is, because that's not how it works. I like to think of these commands to give thanks more as reminders. Just like that monument that Samuel built, it was a reminder, because as God's people, we should want to give thanks. We should want to express our gratitude as part of this relationship. If we truly understand how blessed we actually are, it's as if we can't help but give thanks. So it's just reminding us throughout Scripture, this is something we should want to do. Here's an interesting way, I think, to describe it or explain it. We relate to God in human terms because that's the only way we can relate to Him. And He built us in a way that we could relate to Him. We're told in the book of Genesis that we're created in His image, so we can relate to Him in human terms. So I'd ask you to think of this scenario. When you do something good for someone, when you help somebody, when you show them a kindness, when you show them love, or when you give them a gift, we shouldn't do that just to receive gratitude, correct? We should do it because that's what's in our heart, and it's something that God would want us to do. And if someone doesn't show us gratitude, we would keep doing that. If we're faithful Christians, that's what God tells us to do. But isn't it nice when someone does express gratitude? Not that that's the reason we're doing it, but it is nice. Why? Because it helps us to understand that what we did mattered. It had an impact. It made a difference. And it reinforces that. And that's just human nature. And there's nothing wrong with that. It also helps us to build that relationship with that person. So how does that relate to us and our relationship with the Lord? Well, it's the same thing. He's not blessing us just so we would grovel and show Him humility and the kindness of thanking Him. That's not something He needs. It's really about us, that we should want to show that gratitude. And we should want to tell Him how important those blessings are to us and how meaningful and how much of an impact they've made. That's something we should desire to do. That should be obvious to us. And we understand the benefit of strengthening our relationship with the Lord by showing Him that gratitude. And so that's a way to understand it and explain it. But that should be obvious as we look around this world and see all the blessings that He's given us. You know, here's another point. I think sometimes we struggle to understand and find opportunities to be a good example of faith to people around us. People we know and care about, people we associate with and spend time with, people we work with, people we go to school with, people that we spend any amount of time with, we're challenged to be a good example of faith and find ways to start a conversation. about Scripture, about salvation, about our Savior. Well, here's a way to be obvious about our faith, is be obvious with our thankfulness. Because again, human nature drives us to have a desire to share good news with people we care about. And again, people at work, people that we even associate with, we like to share good news. We like to tell people that something good has happened to us. But when we do that, we have an opportunity to conclude that whatever we say happened good to us by saying, and that comes from the Lord. That was a blessing that God gave me. Are we too shy to say that? Are we too shy to attribute that to the Lord when we're sharing good news with someone? Because what a simple but effective way to share our faith, by telling something, hey, this good thing happened to me, and you know where that came from? That came from Him. That's a prayer that was answered. Or that's a blessing that I never even asked for or even knew that I needed that God so generously bestowed upon me. Are we too shy to share that with others? Because that's an excellent opportunity to be obvious about our faith by being obvious about our thankfulness. Getting back to a prior point, it's important that we're specific in giving thanks, because we do have that catch-all. Again, Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you've given me. Well, you know, that's good to a degree, because we do forget. Because why? Again, we're human, and we're going to forget from time to time. So that catch-all, if we're sincere about it, is important. But shouldn't we be as specific as possible when we render thanks to the Lord? Lord, thank you for this that you did for me. Thank you for answering this prayer. Thank you for this blessing that you bestowed on me that I didn't even ask for. And again, that takes time and focus. That takes deliberate effort. But being obvious in our giving of thanks means that we should try to be specific. You know why? We tend to ask specifically, don't we? And if we ask specifically and God specifically answers, shouldn't we be specific in giving thanks? Shouldn't we take the time and have enough self-discipline to remember the things specifically that He's done for us, and to give thanks in that way, rather than always relying on that catch-all? Just some things to think about being obvious about our giving of thanks. It leads to the final point. That monument that Samuel built, that altar, so long ago that he named Ebenezer, was meant to last. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know how big it was, but it was made of stone. And stone is something that lasts. It was a lasting monument to that blessing that God had given. But you know, that monument was meant to help the people look back upon that particular blessing, but it also had an element of motivating the people to look forward to the blessings that he would continue to give. Samuel makes that somewhat obvious in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, from the first passage that we read. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, when Samuel dedicates that altar, he says this, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." You know, he could have just said, "The Lord has helped us," and left off the "thus far" part. But the "thus far" reminds the people that if you continue to be faithful and obedient, God will continue to bless you just as He did in victory over the Philistines. He's helped you this far because you repented and came back to Him. If you stay with Him, He'll always be with you. Thus far, He's blessed you. So look back on that particular blessing, but look ahead to everything He can and will do for you. That's certainly something that we should do as well. Because the blessings don't stop on any given day. Because He's told us, as long as we're faithful and obedient, those blessings will continue. And He wants us to look forward to the ultimate blessing of salvation, because that awaits us. Thus far, He has blessed us, but think about what lies ahead. And think about an eternity in heaven, because that's our goal. That's where the journey ends. That's what we're aiming for. The last passage of Scripture we'll read together is Psalm 121. We'll read it in its entirety, all seven verses. Psalm 121, a reminder of how blessed we truly are. But take note of the fact that at the end, in verse 7, there's this element that looks far into the future, into eternity. And that's interesting because, if you haven't noticed, Psalm 121 is in the Old Testament. But there's a reflection of eternity right at the end of this psalm, or this psalm that we'll read. So let's read together Psalm 121. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor by the moon at night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So even in the Old Testament, there's that reflection of salvation. It's something so much better awaits us. When we think about all the blessings that God has given us in the past, let's remember what Samuel said. God has blessed us thus far. He's blessed us up to now. That doesn't stop. If we're faithful and obedient to His word, if we submit to His authority and His will and worship and serve Him the way He's taught, the best blessing of all awaits us on the day of judgment. And that, friends, is an eternity in heaven. Let's tie this all together in this last point. And that's the fact that the kind of people that we should be as Christians are thankful people. You know, Garrick mentioned that in the prayer that he gave in the opening of our service, and I so appreciate Garrick's prayers. But he made reference to being the kind of people that God wants us to be. You know, the kind of person that God wants us to be is a thankful person. To show gratitude to others who do good to us, because guess what? If someone does something good for us, remember what James said in James chapter 1. That comes from God. He's just channeling that through someone else. So shouldn't we show gratitude to someone who bestows a blessing on us, knowing where that comes from, and be thankful to the Lord as well? But shouldn't we be thankful to others and thankful to one another? Isn't that a good example for us to set? God wants us to be that kind of person. He wants us to be thankful. And you know what else is true? If that is that someone is blessing us by helping us, when we help someone else, we're blessing them. God is channeling a blessing through us. And that might be an answer to a prayer they had. We should be grateful for that opportunity as well. As Christians, we should have a thankful spirit. We should show that spirit to others as an example of the kind of person that God would want us to be. That's what that monument reminds us of so long ago. That's what it was designed to remind the Israelites of so long ago. But we remember how important it is to this very day and beyond to be grateful for all the blessings that God has given us. Not just the ones that have already come to fruition, but the ones that He's promised as well. The ones that we look ahead to. As I said at the beginning of the service, and you know this quite well, nowhere in the New Testament are we given guidance, direction, or a commandment to build altars. Nor are we given example of any Christians within the New Testament times, within that covenant, that built altars. And so we wouldn't build altars. It would be absolutely inappropriate for us to build a physical altar to remind us of the blessings that God has given us. But we have an altar of sorts because we have the cross, and not the cross specifically, that cruel instrument of torture and death. It's not to turn the cross into an icon that we worship, absolutely not. But think about what it represents. It's the sacrifice that was made upon that cross. Friends, that's our altar, spiritually speaking. We reflect on that sacrifice that was made that saved us from our sins, and we can appreciate every blessing that God has given us, because without that sacrifice, there are no blessings. Without that sacrifice, there's no salvation. Without that sacrifice, there's no hope. And so as we think on the cross, we think about all the blessings that God has given us, because without that, nothing comes to fruition, and we are hopelessly lost. So let's think upon the cross. Let's think about how blessed we truly are. God loved us so much that He sent His only Son to be nailed to a cross to save us from our sins. And every blessing that He gives us stems from the love and mercy and grace that He has, that He directs toward us by blessing us every day. Let's not forget that. Let's never let ourselves get to the point where we become so busy and focused on other things that we start to take those blessings for granted. Let's remember that our faithful obedience is a way to show our gratitude as well, in a way to be an example in this world to others. Let's never forget how blessed we are. And as an invitation, if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity. Come and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be baptized and have your sins washed away. Begin that journey of faith towards salvation, knowing that God will bless you along the way if you're faithful and obedient, and knowing that the ultimate blessing awaits you on the day of judgment. Because what hangs in the balance is your eternity. And you have the opportunity to gain that salvation that he has promised by making that commitment. If you are a Christian and you're struggling to show that gratitude, or you're struggling with temptation, if there's something your brethren can help you with, it's an opportunity for you as well. Let us know how we can help. So if that invitation applies to anyone, won't you come forward as we stand and sing together the invitation song?